Good morning, everyone. Everyone in church, everyone in Zoom land, everyone who will see the recording, maybe. Lovely to see you all. If you have a thing against Christians, now I'm hoping this isn't too true of us, but if you have a thing against Christians and you think that they set themselves up, they say their behaviour is always better, that they're holier than thou, that when it comes down to it, they're always sort of looking down at you a bit because they are a holy people and they do none of the things that other people do. They're hypocrites. If you should feel that way, today's reading is a gift. Be imitators of God. That's what it says, Ephesians 5:1. Be imitators of God. Then it goes on to say there shouldn't be even a hint of sexual immorality, impurity, and it lists various things which all to do with the fact that you can so easily drift into being the kind of people that God doesn't want us to be. And no unwholesome talk, nothing about us, which actually is not like being a child of God. And when you hear the critics say this, you say, well, you could say defensively, you weren't here for the first part of a series on Ephesians where we learn that this is only possible because of Jesus and that we need Jesus because of what he's done, and he's the one who helps us to be better people and to be more holy. And the critic says, so you really are saying with Jesus then that you are imitators of God, copiers of God. It's a strong word. It can be used, copy. You really are saying that. And we say, don't we? I'm not a good copier. I'm speaking personally, not at all a good copier. But I want to be a copier of God. And of all the things going on in my life, that's what I really want to be. Now, you know, as I was thinking about this dialogue with this critic of Christianity, and I've met a few, something came into my mind like a soundtrack. Because when I was in the Boys' Brigade, we used to belt out one or two hymns. Will Your Anchor Hold? We used to belt that out. And when I say belt out, they used to tell us actually to sing more quietly and slower. I mean, fancy telling young people in church to sing slower. And we let rip. And this was the one. And you're going to know, many of you are going to know it. Who is on the Lord's side? You know that? Who will serve the king? Who will leave the world side? Who will face the foe? And you go through this, and then you come to this tremendous refrain where, by thy call of mercy, by thy grace divine, we used to really let go. We are on the Lord's side. Saviour, we're thine. Maybe you sang that in the past more gently. But actually, it's fighting talk. And it gets some things tremendously right. Really major things right. Gets something wrong. We'll come to that in a moment. But it gets something really right. This business about there being sides and about being God and the world and conflict and tension. Fierce may be the conflict. Strong may be the foe, it says. And it's right. It's absolutely right when we begin to think what we're facing here. Our young people, as they go out, are looking at the contrast between God's culture, Jesus' culture, and world culture, which is quite a way of looking at things. Because culture is a big way of describing all that's around us, habits, values, customs, social organization. And it's really how we are. So we're in the Western culture. I know we've got different cultures represented. But in the Western culture, in the bit here in the United Kingdom, there are certain things about us that you can see. The way we behave and speak and talk and think. So when the Histon Baptist Church began in 1858, and I don't know if you've seen the video, but it's good. It's on our resources page. And it's got the worthies, it's got the first minister in a black long coat, looking not particularly happy. Actually, nobody looks particularly happy. And the worthies in the story are always in black and very formal and stiff collars. And the whole thing, as you look back there, you realize, wow, those are our forebears, and not that long ago, 1858. And you realize that the formality and the seriousness and the way in which Mr. Chivers could instruct his employees to come to church. I mean, there are all kinds of things now which are very different. We smile more. We have, jeans were invented later, 1873. We have all kinds of ways. But the reality is, when you think about culture, there are very much deeper things going on. I have a book. I've always been fascinated in this subject, and I read it a few years ago. It's called, its dramatic title, The Death of Christian Britain. Secularization, 1800 to 2000. Now, we don't need actually a book, because many of us have been living through it. The fact was, when our church was begun, God was taken very seriously in culture, in our culture. The Bible was, extraordinarily so. And the whole way in which people behaved, it was understood that there was a Christian code, that there was a way in which God wanted us to behave together. And all that was rather taken for granted has been moving. A big word is secularization in terms of explaining some of this, but there's been a drift, and the drift has impacted. And so we find ourselves moving where God is not taken that seriously. And the Bible certainly isn't. And Christian behavior has become, well, it's do as you like, really. There's no sense of accountability morally to a God who made us. We're drifting into something. And the thing that commentators say, I know that some of you will be aware, but when Paul described his culture, which was pre-Christian, where God was not taken, well, not known, the way of Jesus, the way of behavior, all the things that wasn't known. When he describes it, of its sexual permissiveness and its immorality, and the way the truth is corrupted, and you can do what you like, and all that stuff, we had it last week, anger, bitterness, and all the stuff in chapter 4, and it comes through. All this stuff in pre-Christian culture has come back to bite us in what many call post-Christian culture today. And a post-Christian culture with the way in which sex, money, power have always been the big levers of culture, the way in which we see the abuses, we'd add truth to that. We call this a post-truth culture too. We find ourselves living in a very, very, very different world from 1858, when they first began to worship here in Histon, in a pub. There's a sense in which, as we belong to culture, and we must never forget that God made us all in his image, so you can't just reject culture because there's so much good within it. There are very good people within it, and very good things happening. There was a journalist in Ukraine last week, I heard, who said, war reveals the very worst of human beings. Such awful cruelty, savagery. And the very best in such nobility and sacrifice and such care. Culture is a complex issue. God made us, and God loves the world. But within this world, there is this tremendous tension as we find ourselves part of what is undeniably post-Christian in terms of what we see, what we hear, and how the great majority of people behave. Now, what was the thing that the hymn got wrong? There was a line, and some of you may have picked it up. I said it earlier. It's right in the first verse. It says, who will leave the world side? And that's absolutely wrong, because you can't. You don't have God's side over here and the world's side over here, and you move over and say, I'm with God, because you live in the world. We all live in the world. It's how every day of this week will be lived. And when Jesus calls us to himself, he calls us into something in the world, but not of the world. He calls it his kingdom, of course. And that extraordinary word speaks of another entirely different way of living with him in his love, by his grace, because of a cross, and all the truths that are there in terms of the Christian life together. But it's lived within the world. We've got two passports. This world's, but certainly when we were Jesus, the kingdom's passport. We're dual citizens. And all the time, there's tension and there's conflict. And the sense when we say, are we sort of world copiers, is that we never, because we live in the world, we're never free. We want to be God copiers, but we're always in this tension. And that's why Jesus says to us, when you really want to know about life and what's the greatest thing to do, Mark chapter 12, the greatest thing is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. Because unless minds are engaged and strength of commitment is made with the Spirit of God, his Holy Spirit, because of who Jesus is, we will drift and we will find that we're behaving just like the world is. It was last week Chris mentioned that moment of confession we're grateful for. It's in Romans 7:13 where Paul says, I do what I don't want to do. I do what I hate, and the good I want to do, I don't do. We're in a whole conflict situation which we're never really free of, but all that Ephesians is telling us about is that right where we are, this matter of human behavior, of our ethics together, of our love for one another, of the forgiveness, of the holiness, they really matter. He says you can't get into the kingdom, the immoral, and those who just disregard the basics of living with others. I love the way in which it moves on, this passage in chapter 5, which has got some really demanding stuff within it. I love the way it comes. It was a little while ago, I met a man in a social occasion who was a professional musician in a big London, well-known orchestra. I love orchestral music. And I thought, this must be wonderful. And I wonder what it's like to play. And I've got certain favorite pieces and all. I was thinking it would be really good to have a conversation with this guy. And I was at a friend's house, and he said, I've got so-and-so, you know, and he's in such-and-such an orchestra. So when we were introduced, I said to him, it must be wonderful to belong to an orchestra, making this glorious music, all this, it must be so overwhelming when you're part of something so glorious. And he looked at me and said, no. Just like that. No, it's a job. And I guess if you've been in an orchestra a long time and you've played the same pieces of music forever, and you know them so well, and the conductor says, we know orchestra, we know this well, but there is that tricky bit, bar 256, and everybody turns to it. And I guess it can become routine and dull, and just a job. And what Paul says, and he's got this thing about drunkenness. Chris was on about this last week, about this railway trip with the football fans, you remember, those of you who were here. he says, don't get drunk with wine. You know, that's the culture loves that. And the culture loves wine, and why not? But don't get drunk, but be filled with the Spirit. Hey, up, this is something really different. And come with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Come and praise God with all thanksgiving. There is a way in which, as we come together, we're all in the world, but right now, especially when we come into a church, we belong in a very special way, a godly way, where God has really, as we've sung to him, given us an opportunity. You know, what a friend we have in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. I haven't thought as much of him about him as I should have done this week, but I'm here, and I'm here with you, and we can sing, and you can sing it with me. We're saying, what a friend we have. And in that kind of claim which holds us, we recognize just how amazing it is. And we can declare, especially in song, just how wonderful it is that we have a Lord who makes us through his power with all our minds and all our strengths to be a people who would copy, who is, I love J.B. Phillips' translation, I put it on the newsletter, as children copy their fathers, so as children of God, you copy him. This is not easy. This is why we need each other. This is why we need, even though we've done it some of us so many times before, for it never to become kind of routine. This is why when we come and there's a sense of new opportunity. I love the thought. You remember last week when Janine led and it was a question of the old clothes and tearing off the old clothes, the old habits. That's very much to do with the culture around. And putting on the new, that shining clothes that God gives us. I was picture, you know, you come up into church and you have, you've got the steps up and the ramp, and you can see these, actually they're on the lawn as well, these bits of clothing. And you realize that people have said, I can't really be like that. And it's not easy to tear off this habit that you've been thinking this way in which we've been behaving, the things we've been holding in our minds, bitterness and anger and all the stuff that we've tear it off and put it, and the little piles on the lawn. We've got a big lawn, and as we come in, God's given us clothes, and we know this is why we worship. We have a new week, and the Lord is sending us out and saying, by my love and power and by your mind and your strength, you know, imitate more of Jesus. Be more like Jesus. So I love that verse. And the refrain as it goes, by thy call of mercy, by thy grace divine. That's the only way it can happen. We are on the Lord's side. Saviour, we are thine. And I want to say to that critic and to the person who's seeing it and who knows what will ever may see this, I want to say, listen, we who love Jesus are kind of, with our minds and our strength, living in the same world as you are. We're working in the same places. We've got the same issues. We're reading the same thing. We're seeing the same things. We really want to honor God's way because it's the best way to love. And he says here about being light, because the fruit of light is, he says, righteousness and goodness and truth. Let's pray. Our loving Lord, this is extraordinary how in a world that you made and which you love, there can be such cross currents many of them running against you and squeezing you out and removing you from the conversation and debasing everything that you once made so good, our world and its beauty, our words and truth, our relationships, and the goodness of knowing the love of others and of working with others. Lord, thank you that by your Spirit, right today, you are present, that you are reigning, and that you are calling us as a King of Kings, that we might be somebody who is on your side, living in the world, but committed and afresh saying, yeah, I really want to live for you, Lord. Help us. Some of us are quite some way away. Some of us may have been so often there. You tell us to wake up in this word, to live carefully, not as the unwise, but as wise, making the most of every day, because the days are evil. Lord, give us, we pray, your strength and your love in our hearts and our lives, that we shall be a people alive to all that you're calling us to be, because we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.